Larry Richard with Paul Rasmussen on this Tuesday morning, 6 weeks to the election, a lot going on. We'll cover that, some of the people who were there at Indiana University of Pennsylvania, and we'll also be joined by Dr. Jerry Schuster, who's an expert in presidential rhetoric, who's a Katanning native, and just blocks from where he lives, Donald Trump showed up, the little grocery store there. And he'll join us right after the news at 9. And right now, you've heard a lot about our new airport, $1.6 billion, give or take a few million. And joining us from the Pittsburgh Business Times is reporter Paul Goff, who you can see if you're on our stream at kdkradio.com. Paul, good morning. I see you're in your vehicle ready to roll.
I am, and I thank you for the heads up on the Parkway West and Roslyn Farms, because I'm going to have to go a different way.
You'll have to circumnavigate. So I was surprised you wrote about Pittsburgh International Airport and J.D. Power's ranking. I'm just curious why they would rank us when we're in the midst of this, you know, really 3 decades change in the airport anyway. So first of all, who is J.D. Power?
J.D. Power is a ranking service. You might know them from their auto rankings or healthcare or a lot of other kind of service-based providers, airlines, and in this case, airports.
Yeah, when you hear J.D. Power says, you know, that you do hear it related mostly to the automotive industry. They use it in their marketing. If their rankings are high and if they're low, they don't mention it, of course. So what about Pittsburgh International Airport? At this point, it's in transition, so why do they care?
I think it's, well, it's just an annual ranking, and some years Pittsburgh International Airport's done very well, top second out of 15 of mid-size airports. Last year, it fell in the rankings, and then this year it was, I believe, number 14 out of 15 mid-size airports, a range of the top being Indianapolis and the bottom being Cleveland.
And we're just ahead of Cleveland, correct? In this case. And it seems like next year, obviously, all of the things that they talk about that are important to passengers will be addressed. And that was the whole impetus on creating this new airport. Again, $1.6 billion is a significant investment into taking Pittsburgh's airport to another level, right?
Yeah, and I think maybe this year's rankings ought to have an asterisk with it because of that. You've got a lot of things going on that would make Pittsburgh International Airport lower on passengers' minds this year. If you've been lately, they're doing work to the center core. It's clear that they are in construction. When you drive to the airport, sometimes there are different detours because construction vehicles on the new airside terminal or landside terminal. And then the other thing is also that it's just they've had a lot of challenges as TSA has in a lot of airports with lines. So at the security checkpoints. And I think, that's a double-edged sword, right? More lines, longer lines, which they've tried to deal with whatever limited resources they have at the TSA. But at the same token, it's good news because there are more flights going out of Pittsburgh now than there ever were, well, in the last 15 years or so.
You know, Paul, I would imagine the competition for these ratings is going to get more and more intense as we go down the road. So there's so many new airports, Portland, Oregon, New Orleans, Kansas City just come to mind right off the bat.
Yeah, I was just in, you know, I lived for a long time in New York, and I was surprised when I flew out a couple months ago, flew out of here to LaGuardia and back from JFK. And, you know, those airports are they've stepped up in a major way as well. And those always were never the highest ranking. I think Pittsburgh will rise in the rankings, though, because it's going to be a new terminal. I've been in it during the construction, and it looks really awesome. There's going to be different and better parking with a parking garage. The center core stuff right by the food court and everything, that'll have changed. it'll be a much better experience now than before. And remember also that Pittsburgh International Airport, it doesn't seem like 1992 is that long ago when it opened. I mean, I have three kids that tell me that's actually a very, very long time ago. So it was built for US Air. It was built for an airline that doesn't exist anymore, didn't use it after the first 8 years or so in the way that it was intended. Baggage is a mess. I mean, I think that the Pittsburgh International and the Allegheny County Airport Authority people are doing an amazing job. I'm saying this as a passenger, not as a journalist, trying to do the best that they can to keep it running. I mean, I can't even imagine what the tram or the baggage claim and the baggage system, how much that costs and how often it might, you know, what it takes to keep it running in operation.
Yeah, there won't be a tram anymore. You'll be able to really pull right up, and you won't have to take the train, which takes away. This tram stops at gates A, B, and C, and D. which was right. Kind of a wink to everybody, because it only went to one spot anyway, right? Not like in Atlanta where they actually stop at A, B, C, and D. We don't know exactly when the new airport will open or the grand opening. We know it's expected maybe summer, late summer next year, right, Paul?
Yeah, they've been vague about that, other than to say in 2025. And I can understand that too. With any construction project, I mean, if this is a $1.6 billion, it'll probably end up being more than that when all is said and done. You know, I've had work on my house that doesn't take any, you know, it's not the same. The estimate never ends up being the reality. And if you can multiply that by something as large as a terminal project and all the coordination that needs to be done, I think, you know, it's amazing that it started in 2021 and it's here now, especially given, you know, all the challenges of supply chain, all the challenges of workforce, the fact that they had to run an airport. You couldn't just close down the airport and say, okay, well, see you guys in 2025.
All right. Well, what are you working on next, Paul? Super secret Pittsburgh Business Times.
Well, I just, when I was listening, you know, former President Trump talked about U.S. Steel, and I hadn't heard that because I was sort of on a news blackout in the last 8 or 9 hours. So that piqued my interest. And there's a couple other things going on as well that I'm touring another construction project that I'll be writing about in the next couple of days.
Well, appreciate your time this morning. Read all about it in the Pittsburgh Business Times. Paul Gough, thank you.
Thanks, Larry and Paul. Thanks.
7:15 at KDK from the PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center. AAA traffic is powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. Let's check in with Ellen Gamble.
All right, Larry, thanks. And out toward the airport in Moon Township, we're getting reports of an accident in the 300 block of Cargo Road, so do watch out for that. Accident still being cleared in Baldwinboro, Glass Run Road at Caffell Road. Parkway West on the inbound ride, you're very slow through the I-79 interchange down past that Rosslyn Farms on-ramp because of an earlier accident. And then you get in line again right around the top of Green Tree Hill heading for the Fort Pitt Tunnels. And we do have the Parkway East inbound line of brake lights as well. Of course, those begin at Wilkinsburg, 28 southbound. Very heavy for you this morning through the Aetna Bypass and then stop and go all the way down past the 40th and 31st Street bridges. AAA traffic on the fives, where this September, make losing weight part of your new routine. Energy, clarity, better health. Find it all at awaken180weightloss.com. Our next report at 725. I'm Ellen Gamble on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
Download the free Odyssey app, AUDACY. Take us with you wherever you go. It's a great resource. And reach out anytime. Instant access, a click away. Email us at instantaccess@kdkradio.com. And I want to congratulate David Delapina from Carnegie. He's got a pair of tickets to see Dave Matthews, who's coming to PPG Paints Arena November 15th. And we'll give you tickets all this week on the Big K Morning Show.
You were talking earlier with Paul from the Business Times about the new terminal opening up. And one thing that I remembered that I heard in a previous interview, I guess part of this shifting opening date at some time during 2025 has more to do with the fact that they're going to start testing things and making sure that they're working first before they open up for good.
Well, you're right, and Paul made a good point. He's having a minor construction project in his home, and you can never get a straight answer about when the job's going to get done.
I just got done waiting months to get something done at my place. And there's a story in itself, Larry. I don't know if you've heard this, but people who do contracting work for people's homes, or even handymen, are hard to come by right now. They're in high demand.
Especially good ones.
Mm-hmm.
And if you find one, latch on. But even, I give an example, I had a request to fix a couple of electric things that, you know, not a big deal. How long? It's been 3 weeks, and I still don't have a date when it'll actually happen. And I understand they're busy doing other stuff, and people that are craftsmen and do these things are in demand.
Well, they sure are. I had a light fixture go out in my bathroom, one that I had only installed 2 years earlier. And the thing caught fire, Larry. It scared the living daylights out of me.
Listen, anything with gas, natural gas in the home, or really electric, I don't mess with.
Well, anyway, I called an electric contractor after doing some research, and they said, well, it's going to be a couple of weeks before we can send someone up to take a look at what you've got. And I said, well, I have a replacement fixture here, so if it's possible to have that installed at that same time. And they went over it pretty carefully and then reinstalled a new fixture for me, and it all fell together. But I had to wait 2 weeks just for that one appointment.
That is not unusual, my friend.
Yeah, and really, it was a short wait compared to some others.
I had to change a light bulb, for God's sake. And according to my wife, that took months. Are you going to get that light? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Hey, this is really now when hurricane season picks up. And the people in Florida and along the coast, this is where high anxiety for them. Now, Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida has already declared an emergency for 41 of the 67 state counties. Helene, which is now a tropical storm, the fourth hurricane to make landfall in the U.S., is expected to do so in that bend. They call it the Great Bend. The Big Bend in the Gulf. So all along the Gulf of Mexico, they're on the alert.
We're talking from Key West going all the way up the coastline of Florida to around Mobile, Alabama. You're looking at 4 to 6, possibly 8 inches of rain. Offshore in a couple places, maybe a foot.
And why is that so significant for us is the fact that so many people in this region have family members who have retired down there, friends have been there, maybe your own, maybe you got a second place. I'm always surprised, too, Paul, by people that say, yeah, I got a place in Florida. I'm like, really? How'd you do that? Right? And here's why the expense, because of the insurance claims, have doubled, tripled in some cases for people.
Well, my homeowner's insurance here went up by 50%.
Why?
I don't know.
I mean, we don't have these catastrophic weather events, but you know with certainty at some point that's going to happen.
Maybe it's the cost of materials and supplies. I don't know. By the way, on this...
No, you're paying for them in Florida in part, I bet you.
Well, that might be. This thing is supposed to be a major hurricane by Thursday afternoon. It'll be just off the coast of the Big Bend, south of, say, for example, Tallahassee. And it will make landfall at some point Thursday night, I guess. And then by Friday, it's back down to a tropical storm in Georgia, and it moves northwesterly toward Indiana, where it becomes a depression on Saturday morning. So we're on the fringe of this thing like we were the last one.
We've been on the fringe for years here. Hey, you know what I've got coming up next? You talk about an American hero and a great guy, Rocky Blyer.
Hey!
Who's continued to serve the veteran community population, not only here, around the country. He's got a great event coming up this Friday. Want to let you know about. We're also going to talk a little Steelers football. How can you not have Rocky on?
Right. I just watched him bowling over somebody at the Three Rivers Stadium. It was grand.
Rocky is just special all the way around.
Yeah.
And looking forward to catching up with him next. He'll tell you what he's up to. And, yeah, get his thoughts on your Pittsburgh Steelers. College football. I'm sure every time Rocky Blyer hears this song, he straightens up a little. former captain of the Fighting Irish, four-time Super Bowl champion with your Pittsburgh Steelers, an American hero, served our country in Vietnam, a wounded combat veteran whose story's been well documented. And you have a chance to see him Friday night at a live lecture series at Live Casino, the newest casino on Route 30. And Rocky joins us on the Big K Morning Show. Rock, how you doing today?
Hey, Larry, I'm doing fine. Thank you for calling in. It's nice to hear your voice. Always to wake up to you, that's the best.
I want to dial back a year. You were recognized. You were the only Army guy that I know was recognized by the Marine Corps Scholarship Fund, and they talked about it again this year. In the meantime, you and your buddy John Banaszak, who was a Marine, had some friendly jabs about it. But
he wasn't a Marine. He is always a Marine.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Okay.
And one of the things that I think a lot of us always appreciated about you, Rock, was throughout your post-career, you've always had a hand in helping other veterans. And just talking about what you've done with our veteran community, what is the latest venture that you have supporting the veterans of our region?
There's a couple. One, just to put this out, as you were talking about the speaking series at the Live Casino, is that veterans are free to join us this coming Friday evening. So that becomes very important. And the biggest thing about, you know, veterans, and especially and all veterans, but I really focus on Vietnam veterans, only because of the fact that their homecoming from that conflict all those many years ago was not necessarily the greatest. None of them were thanked as we are today for our service to our country, and feelings that had been repressed over the years. Because of that, they had to go back about their own business and repress their feelings. They had no place to talk about it or to express and or be thanked for. And so that's changed over the years, but there's a lot of scars and issues from that era that need to be just addressed and take a look at. So whenever I get a chance to be able to support any organization of veterans overall, I think it becomes so very important.
Well, the rest of us citizens certainly nowadays appreciate, and it's never too late to go back and thank a veteran, in particular the Vietnam vets. I know you feel that way too. Even if people feel like, well, it's been a long time, but does it still resonate with veterans of the Vietnam era when people will reach out and thank them even now?
Oh, yeah. And more importantly, it does. You know, just because if you think about it, that is a generation that is getting older. We're coming into our 80s, and the turnaround from aging and just passing on and dying and so on. So it becomes important, you know, because those memories of serving the country and even though the welcome that they didn't get coming home at that point in time, you know, is still there. So it's whenever you get a chance, to be able to thank the veteran, it becomes important. And even to that Vietnam veteran, even maybe a little more important that they can take it internally and say they did a good job during that period of time.
Yeah, and I highly recommend you read Rocky Blyer's book, The Fighting Back, the updated edition. Really, no, it's a phenomenal story. And you can see Rock at the Live Casino. That's the new casino on Route 30. It's Friday night at 7. Veterans are free, and you can help support this, the lecture series with Rocky Blyer. And Rock, one of the greatest, coolest things I ever did in my life was to share a role with you as a Marine judge in A Few Good Men, the stage play at the O'Reilly 5 years ago already. And I still, to this day, think, how cool was that to work with Rocky and to share that role with you?
That was a fun time, and you know, just to be able to see what takes place within that world, our actors and actresses and their performers, and just kind of be a part of it and get to rub shoulders with them, and you know, and we get to be on stage, and so that was
fun.
That was fun. It really was fun.
And you've done your one-man show for many years, so you were no stranger to the stage. But also, hey, by the way, Rocky has a cameo in the movie Unsinkable, which is out and doing very well, by the way, Rock. So it just keeps coming. But before you go, I got to ask you about the Steelers.
Of course we do.
So yesterday, Pat, you know Pat McAfee. He's from Plum. Kicked for the Colts. He's got this big show on ESPN, College Game Day Live, and he had Bill Belichick as his guest. Here's what he said yesterday.
That's a real deal in Pittsburgh. They had no idea if either quarterback was going to work. They see Justin Fields work, and they're like, it's all we needed. That's literally all we needed. Hopes are very high over there, Coach.
Well, everybody's worried about the Pittsburgh quarterback situation. They might have the best one in the league. You don't have an experienced guy coming behind Fields if you need him, but they're playing well as a team. But again, a long way to go.
That's cranky Bill Belichick saying,
well, that's pretty good.
We got it going here. So what's your assessment of what you've seen of the black and gold?
I agree with them. There's, you know, offensively the team is coming together. Not that it has been, you know, unlike our defense, you know, we have some great standouts in our defense, and they're working well because that's the key to going on from here is our defense. But our offense, you know, just has to be able to control the ball. One of the things I liked, they stayed within the game. If we go back to this game, the first three quarters, weren't necessarily impressive, but they didn't make big mistakes. They didn't throw interceptions or have fumbles or turnovers. That's part of the game, but not to the point where it really hurt us. And then all of a sudden in that fourth quarter, things came alive. We started to move the ball. I think we're in better shape, it seemed like. From an endurance point of view, it looked like we ran them ragged in those first three quarters, and they kind of pooped out at the end. But that's the way the game goes, you know. And the biggest thing is that we didn't make big mistakes, you know. Things happen within the game, but not that hurt us, period.
We're 3-0, Rock, going into Indy. Yeah, what the heck? See Rocky Blyer at the Live Community Lecture Series, 7 o'clock this Friday night. That's a Live Casino on Route 30. Rock, always appreciate your time, partner. Hey, thank you.
Thank you for yours. All right. I'll see you.
There he goes, the former captain of the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame, Rocky Blyer. He's the best. Aaron, you just heard from a real, true American hero. Coming up on the Big K Morning Show, Paul, we're going to talk to a young reporter with IUP News who was on the campus yesterday and get the college perspective of former President Donald Trump's visit and speech in that arena, which holds 5,000 plus up there.
Looks like they packed it.
Yeah, and the big takeaways are we know now that Donald Trump wants to come back to Butler on October 5th at the Butler Farm Show, or the Butler Farm, the Butler Farm show site.
Not the fairgrounds, on Saturday. That's a Saturday.
Yeah, that's a week from Saturday. And we are 6 weeks away from the election today, and we are 1 week away from the vice presidential debate,
and
which will be a one and done.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then we're also 1 day away from another campaign stop from the Democratic nominee. Kamala Harris will be in town tomorrow. We don't know where or when yet, but we are told that a big policy speech on the economy is going to be made.
And we continue to be How would you describe the both candidates, all four now, you know, canvassing around the state of Pennsylvania?
Let's just call it the top prize in the presidential election.
That's us, Pennsylvania.
We're it.